delighted to be here. I want you to find the book of Joshua. Joshua. Chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. This is a story that God gives us about the cities of refuge. The cities of refuge. Joshua chapter 20. Notice verse 1. Joshua chapter 20. Throughout the Old Testament, we see pictures and types of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have those instituted types, Passover, Day of Atonement. We have those providential types, the manna from heaven, the rock that was smitten. All that speaks of Christ, Christ and Him crucified, Christ the bread of life. We have those personal types of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is that greater David. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. The Lord Jesus Christ is that priest forever, like Aaron, but much more like Melchizedek, everlasting priesthood. And He is that prophet. He's that prophet. Here we have a picture, although not perfect, but it is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua chapter 20, let's read beginning at verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. Now this was spoken earlier. There's two other places in Scripture. Numbers chapter 35, some of you may have that reference there, and in Deuteronomy chapter 19, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, and that's when God first pointed out these six cities, when they were giving the cities to the tribe of Levi. I believe there were 48 cities altogether, but six of these cities were designated for a place of refuge, appointed by God, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares, unwittingly, that is, he didn't do it with malice in his heart. He didn't hate him before. They were out working in the woods one day, and the axe handle came off, or the axe head came off, and the man was killed. The man was killed. That the slayer that killeth any person unawares or unwittingly may flee to this city, may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Maybe this man's brother didn't know what happened and said, well, I'm going to take vengeance on him. So this man who was a slayer was to run immediately to one of the designated cities of refuge. And when he doth flee unto one of those cities, shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of the city, and they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Now, he was safe in that city. The avenger could not touch him. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly. We call that manslaughter in our day. Didn't mean to do it, just happened. And he hated him not aforetime, not with malice aforethought. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come into his own city, unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. Now, verse 7 down through verse 9, we'll look at that in just a moment. It names those six cities. And the names of those six cities actually describe the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those six cities. Now, when Israel settled into the land of Canaan, God ordained and set aside these cities. They were appointed. Notice in verse 7 it says they were appointed. And they appointed, or they sanctified, they set apart these cities to which a man could flee for safety if he had killed someone, we might say, accidentally. I know that's not a good word, but it is something that helps us understand what happened. That is, he didn't hate this man before. He didn't mean for this to happen. It just happened. And if the guilty man could flee into one of these cities appointed by God, the avenger of blood, say his brother or his kin folk, could not touch him, he would be protected, and secure. Now these cities of refuge form a picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our refuge. He's our refuge. Now hold your place here and turn just back a page or two or three to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Many times in Scripture we read about God, our refuge. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 26. Deuteronomy 33, 26. There is none like the God of Jeshurun, that's another name for Israel, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down to, happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thy enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon the high places. Now turn to a couple more references, if you'll find the book of Psalms. Psalm 46. God is our refuge, and especially in reference to God's provided refuge for us in Christ. He is God our Savior. Psalm 46. You're all familiar with this. God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. Of every present help in trouble, therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, God is our refuge. Turn to another psalm, Psalm 62. Psalm 62. God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our refuge. Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, and my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock. My salvation, He is my defense, I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. In God, He only is my rock, my salvation, my defense, my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is. He is our refuge. Now I want you to find another scripture over here in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Trying to set the table here to show you the believer has a certain and sure refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a refuge of lies that God will wash away and sweep away. It's a refuge of truth. Christ Himself. Hebrews 6, verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. Now here's the believer. That manslayer running into that city of refuge is a picture of a believer. Running to Christ and seeking salvation in Him, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that's set before us. We have a good hope through grace. Christ is our hope. Christ is our refuge. Which hope we have? As an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And which or who had entered into that within the veil? Who is it? Christ, the forerunner. Is for us entered. It's our substitute, our forerunner. He's done the work, paid the price, and brings us with Him to glory. Even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, when the manslayer entered into the city, four things happened. He declared his cause before the elders and the priests, confessing what happened. It was a confession. Secondly, he came under the protection of the priesthood and of that city. The avenger couldn't touch him, couldn't get him. Thirdly, he received complete acquittal of all guilt. Fourthly, he was set free. Notice in our text, when that high priest died. I wonder what that's all about. Just happened to be there. It's all about this book. The more I study it, the more I'm amazed how it tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In thy book revealed, I see Him. I see Him. Well, in the same way, when guilty sinners come to the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy and refuge, four things happen in us by His grace. He said, come boldly into the throne of, and thank God it's not a throne of judgment, it's a throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. In the same way, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ by His drawing, fetching grace, He draws us to Himself, we declare our need and our guilt, like that man who smote his breast and said, God be merciful to me, the sinner. We come as stripped, mercy beggars. A man will never seek a clothing, a righteousness, until God strips him. A man will never seek a refuge till he is plainly shown by God's grace and by God's power that the avenger of God's law and justice is after him. And then he'll flee to the refuge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We declare our need and our guilt. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner, as a mercy beggar. Have you ever taken your place before the throne of God Almighty as a mercy beggar? You know, He's never turned away. I've never read in Scripture, you correct me if I'm wrong, I've never read in Scripture where a sinner, a mercy beggar, approached the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, have mercy on me, that He turned them away. We declare our need and our guilt. We come under the protection of Christ. He gives us eternal life. He said, no man will ever pluck them out of my hand. I, my Father, we are one. And we receive complete pardon, complete justification in Christ, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. No longer guilty. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we are set free. We are set free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. How are we set free from the curse of the law? How are we set free from the bondage of sin? Christ redeemed us from the curse of that law being made a curse for us. Amen. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that already died. Furthermore, brethren, he has risen and ascended and seated at God's right hand. That's good news. Oh, that's good news. We're set free from all bondage by the bondage of sin and curse of the law by the death of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You see, this is God's sacrifice for sin. Turn over here to Romans chapter 8. I love this verse right here. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, Romans 8, 32, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also? And I love this word right here, freely. That's a good word, isn't it? I like to study that word. Freely given. Justified freely by His grace. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having by the sovereign grace of God and everlasting mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ fled to Him for refuge, my friend, we are eternally, unchangeably saved and secured in Christ. Amen. Salvation's in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's being found in Him. Now, there are five ways in which these cities picture the Lord Jesus Christ. Five ways. First one is this. These cities, if you have Joshua chapter 20, notice verse 2. These cities were appointed by God. They weren't appointed by Moses. They weren't appointed by Joshua. It says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge. Appoint them out. God appointed them. Again in verse 9, these were cities appointed for the children of Israel. They were appointed, designated by God. And it is by God's eternal decree, by God's divine appointment, that the Lord Jesus Christ is, He's made our refuge. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's appointed, He's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by God's eternal divine appointment that we see Christ as our appointed refuge. Our hiding place, if you will, from the wind, from the storm of God's wrath. As many as were ordained to eternal life, those are those who believe the gospel by God's grace. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Lord by divine decree. You don't make Him Lord. You bow to Him as Lord. God had made Him Lord and Christ. Is that what Peter said in Acts 2? God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, God had made Him Lord and Christ by His divine eternal decree. He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Not only is He Lord, but He's my Savior by divine appointment. He's the surety by divine decree. He's the sacrifice that God appointed. He's the sacrifice that God has appointed. He was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. John, the last of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist, identified God's sacrifice. Behold, the Lamb of God. Now you think about John. John's daddy was a priest. He grew up around that temple. He saw lamb after lamb after lamb under the law. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, God's appointed Savior, God's appointed sacrifice, he said, "There he is. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away our sin." See how these cities were appointed by God. The Lord Jesus Christ is our appointed Savior, our appointed sacrifice. He's the appointed Lord. He is the prophet of God by divine decree, and He is our mediator and priest.
Amen.
I need a priest to represent me before God. And what's the difference between a prophet and a priest? I need the Lord Jesus Christ to be my prophet, priest, and king. A prophet to represent God to me, to tell me the truth, and a priest to represent me before God, and a king to rule and reign over me with absolute authority, wisdom, and power. And the Lord Jesus Christ is all three. He is my mediator, one God and one mediator between God and men, and that's the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the surety of that everlasting covenant, the sacrifice of it, all appointed of God. Something else, these cities, secondly, were plainly identified. Plainly identified. Now you can study this out in Deuteronomy 19 and other places, Numbers 35, but all along the road, when these cities were designated, the priest was to go out and to designate and mark the way. Put up road signs, if you will. City of refuge, this way. Not that way, this way. They were plainly identified, pointing to the city of refuge. And the Word of God clearly identifies the Lord Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, the life. He said, "No man comes unto the Father but by and through me." He is the only refuge for sin. He's the only hiding place from God's justice and the avenger of God's law. His preachers are to clearly point out the way. Look to Christ. Look to the... You know, the message is simple. We make it complicated. The message is simple. He said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God and there is none else." There, he says it repeatedly in Isaiah. Over and over. "There's none beside me. Look unto me." With what expectation will be? "Look unto me and be saved." Would you look? Look to Him. Look to the Lord Jesus. We point you to Christ. Remove, if we can, by God's grace, any roadblocks that might cause the guilty to stumble. Paul said, "We use, seeing we have such a hope, we use great plainness of speech." we point you to Christ. Christ and Him crucified. We preach not ourselves. We preach not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And ourselves, your servant, for His sake. We point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is everything in salvation. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ we stand complete, whole. Thirdly, the manslayer was to flee immediately to the city. Don't delay. Don't delay. To delay would be fatal. The avenger, maybe his brother, didn't know what happened. Maybe he'd catch up with you and slay you. To delay would be fatal. Even so, those who would find refuge in Christ must seek, look, and run to Him by faith now. Right now. When should I look to Christ? Now. Right now. Right now. Now's a good time. Today's the day of salvation. You've heard the gospel. Don't delay. To delay is to be faithful. Faith. Look to Him by faith. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him. Fourthly, the manslayer must be within the city to be safe. You didn't run to the city and stay outside the gate. You had to run to the city and enter in to the city. The manslayer must be within the city. Knowing about the city, standing near to the city was not enough. One must be in the city to be safe. To know about Christ or to be acquainted with Christ or to hear the teaching of God's Word, that's not salvation. Salvation is believing, resting, trusting, and be found in Him.
Amen.
All of you, I'm sure like I grew up in religion, didn't have a clue what salvation was, didn't have a clue who the Lord Jesus Christ was or what He accomplished for me. But I tell you, by God's grace, He revealed to me from that very scripture in Philippians chapter 3 that I count by His grace all things but loss and dung and ruin that I might win Christ and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness and the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Oh, to win Christ and be found in Him, my friend. May God all give us grace to continually in our heart, looking to Christ, coming to Christ, running to Him.
Yeah.
And to rest in Him. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed on Him against that day. I know whom I have believed. Fifthly, the manslayer must remain in the city. Don't go out of the city. The avengers outside the gate wait to get even.
Yeah.
Abide in Christ. And I tell you, if He draws you to Himself, you will. You will. Kept by the power of God through faith in Him. Believers do persevere by the grace of God. He's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of God's glory with exceeding joy. I tell you, God saves His people with an everlasting salvation. I tell you why. Because He obtained for us eternal redemption.
Amen.
And our sins are put away, just not temporarily. He says, as far as the east is from the west, they're gone. God, who knows all things, said their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. They're gone. Remain in the city. All who believe, they will persevere because they're preserved by the power and grace of God in Christ Jesus. Now let me give you this before we look at these cities here. And I don't want to wear you down. There are some ways in which this type here does not picture the Lord Jesus Christ. There were six cities. There's just one Savior. There's just one Savior. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. These cities only protected in our story here. They only protected from physical death. Our Lord Jesus Christ delivers and gives us spiritual and eternal life in Christ Jesus. Thirdly, these cities were entered by physically running. How do you come to Christ? Don't walk an aisle. Don't come that way. These cities were entered by physically running. We don't come to Christ physically, but spiritually by God-given faith. As the old preacher used to say, come to Christ and don't move a hand nor a hair. Look to Him by faith. Look to Christ. Christ alone. These cities were provided for those in our story here who unintentionally killed someone. The Lord Jesus Christ is a refuge for willful, deliberate murderers. That's me. The Scripture said that Christ died for the ungodly. Can you fit in there? Well, there's good news if you can. He died for the ungodly. He's a real Savior. You see, this gospel is a sinner's gospel. He's a real Savior for real sinners. He came up and called the righteous sinners. Sinners to repentance. Now look back at the text again. Joshua chapter 20. These six cities, let me give you this. These six cities, even their very names, they appointed, verse 7, Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, on the west side of Jordan. And on the eastward, Bezer, Ramoth, Golan. Now these names here of these cities even preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. Let me give you the meaning of these names. Kadesh means holy. The refuge we have is a holy refuge. Jesus Christ is the Holy One, both as God and as man. Such a high priest became us who was holy, harmless, totally separated from sin, undefiled. Had no sin, knew no sin, did no sin, made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He's abundantly qualified to be our mediator. He's abundantly qualified to be our Redeemer, our righteousness, and our refuge. He's the Holy One. God who is my, He's the Lord, our righteousness. I like that. He's my righteousness before God. He's my Kadesh. He's my holy refuge. Secondly, Shechem. I like this one. Shechem means shoulder. Shoulder. He's a broad-shouldered redeemer. He's a broad-shouldered redeemer. You remember when He left the 99 in that parable in Luke 15? And He went and found that one lost sheep. And He's after that one lost sheep. And He found that one lost sheep. And He put that one lost sheep on His shoulder. And took Him home to glory, and they rejoiced in the salvation of sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ is my broad-shouldered Redeemer who took the enormous load of my sin to Himself. He bare our sin in His own body on the tree, and in doing so, put it away. As the shepherd, He carries the lost sheep home to glory. He is my Shechem. He's the broad shoulder. The government's upon His shoulder. I'm not so much concerned about the politicians and the government. I know who's ruling all things. The King's heart in the hand of the Lord, and He turns it whithersoever He will. Whoever it is, going to do the will of God. That's right. Thirdly there, it says Hebron. Hebron. Hebron means fellowship or access or acceptance. Now, what does that speak of? Christ is our door. He's the access. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out. Go into life, out of death. Pass from darkness into life in Christ Jesus. He's our fellowship, uninterrupted, sweet communion that we have with Him. We have access to the Father through the merit and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're accepted in the Beloved to the praise of the glory of His grace. He is my Hebron. Fourthly, it says there, verse 8, Bezer. Bezer means fortified place. He's my fortified refuge. He's my fort. When we was a kid, we all did this, didn't you? Didn't you build your fort? Everybody had to have a fort, didn't they? Out in the backyard, out in the woods somewhere. Had a fort made out of sticks. It wasn't much. I tell you, this fortress here is built by God Himself. And it will stand the test of every trial. Turn over here, if you will, to Psalm 91. Look at this. Psalm 91. I will say, verse 2 of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He is my refuge and my fortress. You see that? He's my fort, a fortified place. He is my fortress. He's my God. In Him I will trust. He's my fortified refuge. In Him I'm safe. In Him I'm secure. Eternally so. Back to the text. Fifthly, Ramoth. Ramoth, verse 8. You see that? Ramoth means, I'm not making this up. Ramoth means exalted. Exalted. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our exalted refuge. He's our exalted refuge. When He by Himself purged our sin. I tell you, we have an exalted Savior. A victorious Savior. When He by Himself purged our sin, He sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. God had given Him a name which is above every name, that at that name every knee shall bow. God had highly exalted Him. And every knee shall bow and confess that He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's the exalted Savior, the victorious Savior, the conquering Savior. He went forth conquering to conquer. All my enemies, the law that was against me, sin that was against me and charged me, death, Satan, defeated all our enemies. He's the exalted Savior, the victorious Savior. Lastly, it says there that He's the last city here says Golan. Golan. Golan means revealed or manifested. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ to me. He's the revealed refuge. He's manifested to me as the only refuge. The Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. In the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of God is revealed. The glory of His mercy, the glory of His love, the glory of His grace. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the sacrifice for sin. The propitiation, the satisfaction for our sin. In Christ, the glory of God is revealed. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us and to shine unto us and to declare unto us the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And Christ is the one who is revealed to us. He's revealed to us. I'll close with this scripture. Find Galatians chapter 1. Cities of refuge. What do you think about it? Is Christ your refuge? I pray that He is. If He's not, I pray that God would give you grace in your heart, make you a new creature, grant to you faith that you might look to Christ and see in Christ your refuge, your hiding place, your Savior, your salvation. It's a revelation of Christ in you. Galatians chapter 1 verse 15, but when it pleased God, when will a man be saved? When it pleases God. When pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. And here's what salvation is. It's a revelation of Christ in it to reveal His Son in me. That I might preach Him. Can't tell what you don't know. Anymore you come back when you haven't been. To reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen. And immediately, I didn't need to have someone tell me. I didn't confer with flesh and blood. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father. My Father. I pray God will bless His Word to your heart. I speak.